Luke chapter 5. If you don't have and you'd like to turn in your pew Bibles, it's going to be on page 728. Thank you for the worship tonight. I don't know about you, but I just find that I'm needing him more and more. And so I want to be honest with that song, because it's not just that, you know, I want nothing else. I find that I need him. And the world needs him. So tonight we're going to talk about the benefits of salvation and that this will not stop me. I just think that we get diverted very easily. Our times are diverting our attention, our affections. And so tonight I want to talk about that, because I feel like, you know, wherever your faith is, just stay with me, because I feel like there's some demonic influences that are just really attaching themselves to the people of God and causing people to doubt and fear. And so tonight I want to share this with you. For the past couple of weeks, I've been waking up way before my alarm. That's not me. And around 5 o'clock, and I'm like, okay, you know, whatever's going on. And the last two nights, when I woke up, it was exactly 5:19. And this morning when I woke up, I literally, it was a voice in the room, and I thought it was Steve. And it was like, you need to get up and pray, and you don't need to quit. And I was like, so I jumped, I looked at, 5:19, I was like, okay. He's like, what? I was like, didn't you just tell me to get up and pray? He's like, no. And I was like, oh. So, you know, man, I was on it. I got up and started to pray. And so I thought, 5:19, what is it? And this is why I ended up at Luke 5:19. So we're going to read verses 7 through 25. Now, I want to set this up for you, because Jesus has already been doing some great miracles. He's called his first disciples, and he's healed the man with the leprosy, and the news about him is already getting out. Listen with spiritual ears tonight, because when you challenge religiousness with a move of the Spirit of God, it's going to stir up both sides, the religious ones and the heathen, if we want to call them heathen. I just prefer to call them lost. But it's going to get stirred up towards you both ways. So it says, one day as he was teaching, of course this means Jesus, Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. This is your text tonight. This is what I think is important, verse 19. And when they could not find a way to do this, to get the man there, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, that's the most important part, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. I think he had to say that twofold. One, because he knew the Pharisees were watching him, and he knew what they were thinking. But two, I think the man who needed to be healed didn't feel like he was worthy. And it was calming both of them. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them, and he took what he'd been lying on, and he went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. I'm going to go a little bit out of order today, because what I want you to know is whatever's had you paralyzed, get up, carry it, and walk away from it. But don't forget it, because the thing that was your crutch is going to be your testimony. And I'm telling you, God is setting people free, and I want to be a part of that. So Jesus, you know, he got past the crowd. You know what his crowd was? The doubters, people who were waiting to trap him. I think so many Christians today were so afraid of the trappers, you know, that are going to get us to say something wrong, and then we're going to have the haters to deal with. When all we should be concerned about is representing Jesus. And that's why, you know, I'm grateful for the music, I'm grateful for the song, but I don't ever want to sing a song that isn't true. And so when I sing that, I just want more of you, nothing else. Man, can we say that? You know, that song really put me on red alert. Can I say that, Ken? Can I say that I just want him when I've got this other list, right? So I'm coming in today, and I'm looking at this, and here's what I want you to realize. There was a crow that was sitting on a wire, and there was a rabbit on the ground. The rabbit said to the crow, "Man, I wish I was up there where you are. I just had nothing to do all day." And the crow said, "Well, come on." And he said, "I can't. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stay where I am, and I'll just do nothing." The crow said, "Fine with me." A little bit later, here comes a fox, and he jumps up and he pounces on the rabbit, and he takes him away and he eats him. And the moral of that story is this: unless you're going to go higher, you're going to be open to pray. But God's going to make the way for you to go higher. But here's what happened. The people that wanted to lift this man, that wanted to bring him to Jesus because they recognized it, I believe this is where we are in America. There's people that I want to see brought to know Jesus Christ. But number one, they don't even know they're paralyzed. They think everything's going really good. But you know, there's a Savior, and there's one day that everybody's going to come to the end of themselves. And if we have not shared the love of Jesus Christ with people, suicide rates are skyrocketing among believers and non-believers. Why? Because somebody hasn't pressed beyond the crowd to get to Jesus. God is not calling us to the crowd. God is calling us to his heart. And that's where we need to be. So today, we just need to check, what's my goal? Is my goal just to come to church and feel good about myself? Or is my goal that I want him to be able to wake me up and to break my heart for people, right? Because I got nothing better to give you than Jesus. And I say this all the time to people, but it's true. If there's anything good about me, it's God. It's not me. Because I want him to get all the glory. And I'm watching people get so wrapped up in hate and what's right and how you did me. And it's like a crowd and a sea of stuff we have to get through because we're doing it down here on the ground. And he just wants us to come up higher. So the benefits that we've been studying about salvation, and you all should already know a lot of these, boldness. If you want a scripture reference on that, we've already studied about how when it's on page 73 in your pew Bible, Acts 4:27-31, and God gave them the boldness to speak his word through the infilling of the Spirit of God. What they couldn't do before, they're now able to do because of the Spirit of God. Guys, the Spirit of God is waiting for us to embrace him to go higher. Because there's things down here that want to get us, but he wants us to go higher. So I have boldness. That's a benefit of my salvation. When I lose sight of what other people think about me because I love them enough to want to tell them the truth, that's a boldness that I hadn't had before the Spirit. There's a determination that we see in these guys. They're determined. I'm not going to let that crowd stop me. We're going to figure out a way to get to Jesus. And so that determination came in. And I believe that one of the things that God has given each one of us is creativity. We're coming up with some great things. You know, adversity brings out creativity. Now, June could probably write a book on as many times as you've needed something and God has supplied it miraculously. You know, just, but you were willing, June, to take the junk off the side of the road and go through people's junk and get the provision that you needed because you were determined, but God gave you that creativity. And I love the story, Ray Kroc, you know, the guy who started McDonald's, did you know that he was a milkshake salesman? He sold machinery to make milkshakes. And he was in his 50s, and he found these two brothers that had this burger store that was really prospering. And so he tried to talk them into this, and they were really nervous about it. But he's like, you know, there's got to be something more. And so he talked them into it, and today McDonald's is the 90th number in order of things, even with countries, is 90th in economic wealth, McDonald's, because a milkshake salesman saw possibility. Now I'm wondering how many of us in here see possibility in souls that are lost. And if we just keep encouraging them to get the license, to turn it over to the Lord, to go full on with Him, I'm wondering how many people are being held back because we don't even see the value in the souls around us. I don't want to challenge them, you know. They got their life. Everything's flowing. Let's not disturb their happy place. Your happy place is going to get disturbed because you live in an evil world, not because God made it evil, but it is evil. And without His love and forgiveness for us and through us, you'll come to the end of you, and He'll allow it because He wants you to come to Him. And then there's the other thing. As a believer, I see possibility. Do I always see it? No. But I should see it. And after I've spent my time with Him, I can see it again. Did you ever just lose heart and just think, man, nothing, I'm just fearful. Have you ever been so gripped with fear that you actually thought the world would be better off without me because I don't see a way out? Let's see. Do you see what I'm saying? But salvation, the promises of God bring us hope that God can work through us and bring any situation for His glory. So what's the goal? The goal is there's somebody else besides me that needs help. Here, what are our obstacles that we see in the crowd? Discouragement. You'll never make it up there. You can't even see through that group. They're not going to make way for you. Who are you? There's the sight-motivated people. They don't see the possibility that I'm that close to Jesus. We get sight-motivated and see what's between me and Jesus is bigger than what I'm able to do. Instead of, God, you're going to work through me. And the other thing that I see is they just think it's too much. We've been wagging this guy around. Can you imagine? Really, it's dead weight. It's got to be so heavy. And they're walking him around, right, on just this mat. So there's no, like, supports. There's no wheels. But they're so focused. They're so fixed. And creativity kicks in. They're seeing the possibility. And they don't see that it's too much anymore. They see a way around it. And I'm telling you tonight that the Spirit of God wants to begin to pour into you the ability to see the possibility and that nothing is too much. God is raising up an army against the negative, dark report that this is too much. It's more than we can do. We're not going to come out of this. If my goal is to take somebody else with me, If my goal is to look at someone else, if my heart is focused on someone else, I'll recognize my inability and recognize I need God. Now, let me just ask, and I do want you to raise your hand, so you're going to have to risk being vulnerable. How many of you are touched by situations, by people you love that are breaking your heart? Would you raise your hand? It's pretty unanimous. And the reason that it's breaking our heart is because we love God and we don't want anybody to be left out. But between you and where Jesus wants to take them, there's some filters we're going to have to work through, and we're going to work through them tonight. Number one, if I'm so concerned about me and what I've done, I'll never get anybody else through. But if I'm so determined to get someone else through, when you're praying for those people, when you're bringing them before the Lord, when you're going through your junk to get to Jesus, can I just tell you what's happening is you are the one who's being changed first. You're never going to do for somebody else what God isn't going to do for you. But we've been taught to love things and to love people and their opinion more than we want to love God. And then when we don't get the wish list fulfilled, people write off God. Well, he's mean, he's evil, he's whatever. Do you know that God knows what I want and I don't? Not just what I need, but God knows what I want. The enemy wants you to look at things that are here, and God wants us to go higher here. But what we've got to do is take our focus off of the things that are here and the crowd and the news and the bad report and money and love and relationship and all that other stuff that is not eternal. And by love, I'm talking sex, not commitment. We got to take all that and set it aside because those things are not eternal. But when you have unconditional love, when you care about someone more than you care about yourself, now you're walking into a new place of vulnerability. But God wants to bring you there because he wants to love you that way first. There has to be that love. So am I looking to me or am I looking to Jesus? Satan's goal, his whole goal, is to get us to look at, to get us to listen to, and get us to be in agreement with the fact that God's word is not important. That you don't have to do all that stuff they're saying. Come on. Let's just lower your standard. And can I just get a witness in here from people? How many people have lowered their standard? And that's your biggest place of regret in your life. Guys, that's no coincidence. I didn't pay you. I didn't go around here and say, raise your hand to make me look good. It's a fact of life. All he wants is your agreement with him, and then he's going to take you down, and then he'll turn around and blame you, and if you don't fall for that, he'll blame God because he's all about the blame game. So with his lies, he comes in, he says, you know, well, God won't do that. And we just get, well, yeah, man, I prayed and that didn't happen and God didn't do it. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me. I'm pretty sure I got forsaken. I'm pretty sure he left me back there. Well, let's replay. Let's rewind that and let's see who left who first. Because if you really want to get in agreement with the enemy, God is not going to bless that, guys. He's not going to bless it because he sees where you're headed. But here's the thing, when the enemy comes in and he says, God won't do that, I've got to know his word and I've got to know who he is and I'm serving. And I can say to him, maybe he won't, but like the children in the fiery furnace, even if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. But I want to be able to say, God, I want you to know that I'm going to give you the time because all time is in your hands. And I don't believe that you're not going to do these things. I believe it's a matter of time. And God, you're worth waiting for. But the enemy will ride your back and ride their backs until they don't want to wait anymore because we're not walking in peace. Peace I give you to you, my peace. That's the thing that's going to keep your mind sane is peace. And the enemy wants to keep you worried and freaking out about stuff. How's this going to happen? How's this going to work? Man, if that happens, then this is going to happen. And, ooh, we're on a slippery slope. Take the shortcut. Take the shortcut. And then I don't learn my lesson. I could have taken any of my kids when they were learning to walk and just said, tired of that, and picked them up and just took them back to the room. Picked them up in the morning, put them in the car seat. Would have been a lot quicker. I'd have got to work a lot faster. But there comes a point where you can't keep picking those things up. We're bypassing the process of maturity, and God is bringing us through the crowd to see the crowd, for it to look impossible, for us to dig deeper with Him and say, God, this is possible because Your Word says that all things are possible to You, and I'm not falling for this stuff. You're not going to be the punching bag. You're not going to be the thing I blame. I don't want to blame anybody. I'm getting it right with You. My trust is in You. And if You don't want me to have that, then take the desire out of my heart, because Your Word is You will give us the desires of our heart. And anybody in here who's looking for the perfect relationship and the perfect spouse, you just bought into a great old big lie. Because you ain't perfect either. So if that's your measurement, nobody's ever going to be perfect. We need to lower the weakness and lift up Jesus. See, they didn't lift up their strengths. They lowered the weakness. And when they lowered their weakness, it's when He raised it up. See, what you got to realize is the enemy saying, you know, you just, man, you need that to, man, you don't, let's get rid of this, let's do that. You don't need God. You can do this. You can do this. Do you know that when the Spirit of God comes, He comes in. And when the spirit of the enemy, when the spirit, the Word's talking about the spirit of the enemy, it always leaves. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God never wants to leave you, and it never wants to forsake you. But the enemy will come in and steal the strength that you have until you're so worn out. You'll move one or two places. You'll say, it can't be done. There's the crowd. I quit. I give up. I'm done. Or you'll say, there's got to be a better way. God, give me the creativity, the ability to see what it is, the possibility. And if there's nothing for me to do, then I'm going to sit right here and worship You until the idea comes, or You come and rescue me. Because I'm not going to walk this road and wear the ruts for somebody else to fall into. Luke 5:16. We started at verse 17, but verse 16 says this, that Jesus withdrew to a lonely place and He prayed. See, the enemy doesn't want you to go to the lonely place. He tells you that that's, you deserve better. You don't need to be alone. Oh, that's a bad thing. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you need to go to the lonely place so you can hear what you're really thinking. And measure it up to God's Word, because somebody else is in your ear all the time telling you how it needs to be done. And God doesn't want us tormented. But Jesus, the Son of God, knew that loneliness played a part, and pulling away and being lonely and praying was when He could hear the Father, because He wasn't around the talking crowd. And He wasn't around the mockers. And He wasn't around the people who were trying to trap Him. If I've ever seen anything, I can't even fathom how hard it is for people now. Do you know that so much money is spent on American business just so nobody sues them? That your prices are so inflated. You know, we went to Mexico to get dental work because it's so much cheaper there. And somebody was sharing, you know, well, that's because that dentist lives in a gated community and drives that big fancy car. We had a friend who's in business tell us that that's not all there is to it. There's so much insurance. There's so many things that they have to do and so much paperwork. so many people that have to be hired because of lawsuits and because of government regulations in America that now you can't get the product. That's why you can go there and get the product cheaper, is because they don't have all these things. And you know where it all stems from? Greed. Most of you said that before I did. And what's it going to do you? What's it going to do you to have more money so you can get more things? I saw this guy said the other day, look around your house and see all the money that's wasted. Isn't it so true? And I'm not here to preach poverty. I'm here to say we need to raise up and look past the crowd, because there's needs of people that we could be helping with and filling. But I'm more concerned about me than the kingdom. And when you're more concerned about you than the kingdom, you'll stay bound. But when we start going to set other people free, when you decide that you're going to forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it, man, that's a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? But when you do it, when you forgive them, whether they asked for it, whether they deserved it or not, what happens to you? You're free. See, you all have these answers. You should be teaching this lesson tonight. But why is it that we know these things and yet they're so hard to do? Is it because I really want more of Him? Where's my heart? Is it concerned about those people? Am I concerned about carrying the people that are on the mat and getting them whole so they can maybe come back and help me when we've got somebody else that needs help? Because I'm going to tell you, the encouragement that we're lacking is that we are not following through with leading people to the Lord and doing our part, and we don't feel fulfilled and we feel frustrated. God, you can't save everybody. Let me just save you a little heartache here. You're not going to heal anybody's broken heart. Only Jesus can do that. But I can lead them to Him. I can speak the word, but I need the boldness of the Spirit to give me the timing and the words, because both are important. One, because the enemy sees that you've got a piece of joy, you've got a little bit of peace, and man, he will hook you up with somebody who will suck the living joy and peace out of you like that, and you think it was a righteous cause? No, it won't, because if they're dependent on you, they'll never go to Jesus, and He wants me to take them and lower the weakness before Him and pass by the crowd and pass by the doubters and pass by those that want to trap you and catch you. How many in here really, you have people in your life that you know just want to find you doing something wrong as a Christian so they can throw it in your face? Okay? Now let me tell you, those are the same people that don't want a relationship with Him. They want you to feel bad so they can feel good. That is a satanic attack, and we're not going to have it. Because my goodness, if there's anything good, it comes from God. And if there's any peace, it's going to come from God. And my peace is not going to come from people who approve my relationship with Jesus Christ. My peace is going to come when I get up, when He says get up, and I can pray and hurt for other people. And let me just be clear. The reason we hurt for other people is because sometimes we get independent of God, because we got it in control, and He wants to break our heart for someone else so we'll get back in His lap and get back dependent on Him, because that's where the enemy cannot attack you. It's mercy and grace, guys. Well, I got to start. Where do I start with this? You want me to go out and find somebody and just hook up to them and say, come on in here, we're going to bring you to Jesus? Guys, you don't have to go any further than the mirror to find the first person who needs it. I don't need to be anybody's savior, but I need Him to be mine. And we need to get in that mirror and begin to say, God, who have you called me to be, and where's my place? And I'm going to guarantee you a lot of the pressure is in your place. But when you put that with Him, He'll show you. Somebody somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. But the first person is you, and it's me. Do you know some days God has just called you to rest? It's called Sunday. It's called the Sabbath. There's a day he just wants you to rest. Why? Because we need it. Oh, man, I got these extra 4 hours. Now, I'm going to get this done. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to be tired. And then the next day, when stuff starts coming at you, you're not going to be physically and mentally ready for the battle because you thought you had to keep pushing through to get something done. And he really wants us to begin to take our time and rest before him. Anybody in here will agree with me that you can sleep in a bed all night and wake up and have no rest? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I want you to know, when he wakes me up at 5:19 in the morning, I got energy for the whole day. Because there's a provision from him that I can't get from a pillow or from a movie or from coffee or whatever else it is. There's a provision that we need. But we have to press through the crowd. Luke 17. I'm thinking about this. People just go around, they don't give God any credit. Well, you know, I did that. Yeah, God, I don't want to believe. You know, I handled this myself. Go back through history and read it. Because you're going to find that there's a place where everybody comes to a place where there's something they can't handle. The people with all the money, the people with all the fame, the people with all the family, the people with all the big jobs, whatever it is that you think is an ultimate, I want to tell you, read out in history and you're going to find there was a place where they fell. Because the things that we think on this level are going to get us through are not. So I need to take what it is, and I need to press through. So I just want to ask you tonight. How about a change of priorities? How about instead of feeling the pressure of making everything work, how about I prioritize it and begin to say, God, how do you want this to work today? I've looked really foolish on some days when I prayed that prayer. But do you know what? I needed it. And somebody else needed to see my weakness, because we can be so strong that people think independence comes from God. I'm not independent of God, but I want to listen to God. But we need to change our priorities. What's your crowd? What is it that's keeping you from going higher? What is it that you know Jesus is right here? But I can't press through that. What is your crowd tonight? Is it a hater? Is it that you're worried about people mocking you for being a Christian? It's going to come. John 7:7, and I believe it's John also in twice in John where he's talking about, he says, they're going to hate you because they hate me. Get ready for it. You can do everything beautiful and everything perfect without God. I don't think there is a perfect, but we have this false idea. You can do all that, and people are still going to find fault with you. But when I come in and I recognize that I don't care if they know that I love Jesus. I don't care if that's the reason I'm going to get mocked. I don't care if that's the reason they don't want me there. It's not because of me. It's because of the Spirit of God. And believe me, he is protecting you from something that will harm you. And that's the only reason you're not being accepted. Is that what's in the crowd? The haters that you're so worried about? Is your crowd fear? Are you worried that, you know, God's really not going to provide for you? Well, let me give you a little help here. Why don't you go ahead and trust him If you really don't believe he can help you, go ahead and turn everything over to him, and then you write the book about how unfaithful God is, because it's never been written, and it's never going to be written, because when we're doing it from our heart for God, he is faithful, and he's not going to fail you, and he's not going to fail your kids, and he's not going to fail the people you're worried about, and he's bigger than addiction, and he's bigger than lies, and he's bigger than hatred. And we're going to have to decide who we're going to trust. Because he's worth getting to. But I need to go up. Because I'm looking at this view, and I see the things that are keeping me from him, and I need to get the overview. And I'm only going to get that from him. So tonight, the thing that I want you to recognize is that what is in the crowd that has me blocked from moving me or someone else to be healed? What is it? I wonder if I'll ever really have complete faith, because I can be believing for something and doubt and let go of it. That's just me. You're all so good at it. Let's begin to help the weak one up here. Because I want to tell you something. There's a place where you can say, God, I'm going to trust you with this. And it's like all hell gets unleashed on you to see how faithful you are to what you just said you believe. Because the enemy wants your agreement to prove God wrong. And all God wants is my obedience. And he'll take care of me and he'll get the glory. But I want to tell him how it needs to look. You know, I'm just thinking, God, can't we do this where I look good? Can't we do this where my kids don't have to go through pain? Can't we do this so that... See, what you're wanting is him to move the crowd out of the way so you can come to him. And what he wants you to do is to seek him more than you're worried about the crowd, because that's when we're going to grow up and mature. God is not against you tonight. He's for you. But I want to tell you something. I'm believing for you in this room tonight that whatever the demonic forces are that are speaking fear and doubt over your mind about your future, that in the name of Jesus, it's going to be broken off tonight. I believe that you're going to go home, and I believe you're going to rest. And Pat, I believe when you rest, it's not going to be the burden on you, that it's going to be total relief. Because God is going to set you free from taking that thing back on. You just feel like you're on a yo-yo with God. But I want to tell you something, my sweet friend. God is only letting you see what it is that you think you want, but he's always got you coming home. That's nothing to be ashamed of, because you're his girl. Your name is written in heaven, and his name is written on your heart, and you need to settle it. So we're going to stretch our hands out towards Pat right now. Father, we just thank you that Pat is being set free, God, from second-guessing herself, and that you love her, God, and that you're making the way for her. And God, we just thank you that Janice is not being left out, that you're providing, that the home that you've given her, God, there's a value there that is even yet to be realized by her, Lord. But we thank you that you gave her the wisdom to hang on and not give up. Now, Lord, tonight in this room, there are people who are hurting because the enemy has given them the crowd, thinking that you won't touch them if they make it through. And in the name of Jesus, I come against every one of those thoughts that you are not for us, that you are against us, that you are scrutinizing us, that we have to come to you whole before you will accept us. Because everyone who was touched by you and healed had a weakness, had a flaw, and that is what you do. You complete the things that are in our human nature by a move of the Spirit of God, and boldness will come upon us, God. Unashamed boldness will come upon us, not to put another person in their place, but to speak your name unashamed. God, possibilities coming forth in this room tonight. Whatever it is that you are giving up on, whatever it is, discouragement that is said to you, this cannot happen. I call you into remembrance right now. Guys, remember this. Twice Jesus had to tell them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. He's not afraid of your failure. He's not afraid of your fear. He's not going to be overcome by your doubt. He's not going to be overcome by your independence. He wants to overcome all those things with such a love. He'll do it again for you. Whoever in this room has believed, well, God did that once, He's not going to do it again. Know His word. He's not a liar. God, heal us tonight of broken hearts and brokenness. And heal us from the thought, God. Heal us from the thoughts that You are out to get us. I want to thank You that You're out to get me, all right. But You're out to save me from the damage of me trying to do it all. And I thank You for that right now. Now in this room, I'm going to ask you to do this. You know there were 10 lepers that were healed? And you know that they were from Galilee and they were from Samaria. And they had to be on the outside because they were shunned. Guys, believe me, if people are going to shun you, they'll do it whether you serve God or not. They'll find a flaw, okay? But He healed them, and He made them whole. And then they got a ways off, and the Samaritan was the one who came back and said, "Thank you." And he fell at His feet, and he worshiped Him. And when he got up, stay with me, he said to the disciples with him, "Were there not 9 more that were healed?" Guys, that's not because He's holding it against the 9. That's because He wants us to see the ingratitude in the world and that we will determine we're not going to do that. God, I'm going to thank You today for what You've done for me. Every day we should be thanking Him for what He's done. Every day I thank God that I live in America. Well, you know, America, whatever. Listen. You need to travel or really get on the internet and see some stuff. You live in a place where you've got food that is available to you, that you have shelter if you want it. Really, these are all true things. And we need to be grateful. Our ungratefulness because we don't have what somebody else got is choking out our relationship with Jesus. Be grateful for what you have. And tonight, I just want to leave you with this. Where you have doubted your ability to be a Christian, that's coming off of you tonight. Where you've doubted your ability to help anybody else find Jesus because you're just barely making it, that comes off you tonight. Because tomorrow, you're going to have some opportunities that are going to surprise you. And one of them is going to be, you're going to start being able to say, "I don't have the answer to that." And when you can set yourself free of having to have all the answers, He's going to send the Spirit and give you the answer. Are you following what I'm saying to you tonight? But I want you to know, God has moved on you tonight. If there's something in your heart and you just really, you know, "I just want to be closer to God." Listen, just stand right now. If that's in you, I need to be closer to God. I just want you to lift your hands right now because the Holy Spirit is going to consume you without a word or a touch right now. Open up your heart. Let Him know. "I'm pressing through that crowd, God. I'm pressing through my fear. I'm pressing through the thought that You don't want me. I'm pressing through the lie that if I seek You, I'm going to lose everything else. I press through, God, because I want You." Guys, it's the faith that pleases Him every time. You have faith tonight or you wouldn't have stood up. That lie is broken off of you. You have the faith. We come in agreement tonight, Lord. lead this group to victory. And God, we're going to be grateful. And we're going to thank you for it in Jesus' name. They all said, now, I need your help in prayer. Anybody going to help me pray? Okay. We've got a lot of people that are being bombarded with physical illness right now. And they're key people in the kingdom. And that's being poured out on key people. So I want us to begin to pray. Cynthia Smith is not here tonight because her legs are getting so weak she can't drive. And she needs a ride to church and from church on Wednesday and Sunday. She's off work right now for 30 days because of, and the, every test they've run, everything they've done on her, you're good. Neurology, like 36 needles in her legs and on her nerves, and there's nothing wrong with you. We're going to give you physical therapy. And she tests out in the 90% of strength. Heart problems, and there's nothing. I want to tell you, there's something going on here. And the devil is a liar. And he won't have Cynthia. And he will not have Nelda. And he will not have Monty. And he will not have Keith. And he will not have Carl Rabelais. We're going to bind together and begin to call the Spirit of God to come forth in these people, because they are pillars that are needed in the kingdom of God. And I'm putting those names out there because I want you to begin to pray for these people and call them home. And we're going to call the lost home. Do you know what I'm saying? People who've known God's love, the children of God, who know His Word, we're calling them home tonight in the name of Jesus. And when you can't pray for the ones that your heart's broken for, somebody else can. And that's how we lift them up and we lower them to Jesus. And they're raised up whole. Can we do that? Can we pray those prayers? Because I'm counting on you. And so I expect some phone calls to Cynthia to just say, hey, we'll pick you up. We'll work out a schedule if we need to work out a schedule to get her to church. But we need her here. And she needs us. So we're going to stand in agreement for that. Amen? God bless you. And amen.